Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I am joined today by our very, very good friend, Patty Strand from the National Animal Interest Alliance. And Patty is going to talk to us today about something that I think is really pretty interesting information and stuff that I don't know that a lot of people know about. And it's called Pet Expo. And the opportunity that this presents us as purebred dog fanciers to reach out to the general public. Is that what you're thinking, Patty?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My husband and I, as it happens, have been involved with the America's Family Pet Expo that's held every year in Orange County. I think it's been going on now for 29 years. I have been to other pet expos. The goal or the reason that we became involved initially was so that there would be some sort of exposure to the purebred dog community besides our dog shows, because at our dog shows, we're all pretty intensely involved with our breed, with our competition, or we're putting on the shows. We don't have a lot of time to really stand and talk to the various people who might come in the door there to meet purebred breeders. And we found that at the pet expos, because of the way they're set up and because it's a much more casual atmosphere, it's just been a real great venue for the purebred dog fancy to get their message out. We work, as I mentioned, with the America's Family Pet Expo in Orange County, and it is just a gigantic enterprise. They have everything from reptiles to exotic birds and pretty much everything in between. They have the International Cat Association puts on demonstrations there. They have demonstrations of grooming, which are very, very interesting to the general public. And then my husband and I have taken on the role of bringing in as many purebred clubs as we can so that there will be purebreds there for the public to see and to talk to, responsible breeders to get an idea of the people in their community that may be associated with a breed that they like. And I think it's around 90 different breed clubs that we have now participating at the Orange County Fair. Our last year, there were 47,000 people who came through there. So
Wow. This
is like having a whole city, exposing your dogs to an entire city. 47,000 people is enormous. I don't think there are many dog shows in the country, even Westminster, that can boast a number like that. And the people in the booth, they set them up kind of like we do at a Meet the Breeds display. They decorate their booths. They have lots of material there about their breed, about how to raise them, if there's grooming involved. And during the weekend, we do a couple stage presentations where people actually bring their purebreds onto a stage and talk to a small audience that will gather for each of these presentations. And they will share information about their breed, like their longevity. Is this a breed that is going to be with you for 8 years or 10 years or 15 or 20 years? Is this a breed that is going to enjoy jogging with you, or would they rather just lie at your feet in front of a fireplace? Are they lap dogs? But basically just giving general information about how to care for them, what their grooming requirements are, and those kinds of things. And the public really enjoys it. When you go through the various buildings, you'll see sometimes that there are lines of 12 to 20 people waiting to talk to breeders in a particular booth. For the last several years down at Orange County, AKC has actually had a booth too, and they pass out all kinds of really useful information that is popular with the public. It is a very casual environment for all of these pet expos, whether it's the one I'm talking about or ones that are out and about the country. They're family affairs. You generally do see probably half of the crowd is husbands and wives, but it's husbands and wives and a lot of kids too who come through. They also have adoptions that are available there. Some of the rescue groups that are associated with the kennel clubs participate. There's police dog demonstrations. So it just goes on and on. It's just a lot of fun, a nice casual day.
Nice. So if one of our listeners is looking to become involved in something like this, we'll provide some links, but they're available in different parts of the country through the course of the year. Is that correct, the pet expos?
Yeah, that's right. And I don't know if anybody has collected all of the links to all of the pet expos so that they can be gathered up and presented to everybody. We haven't done that. So, Laura, maybe that's something you're going to want to do.
A new project.
The World Pet Association, the organization that puts on the big one down in Orange County, they have several other pet expos as well, but some of them are oriented specifically to aquatics, for instance. They're not all wide-ranging like this particular one is with all the different species. I mean, they even have contests with chasing pigs and things like that. They have a race that consists of four pigs which run from one end of a 90-foot U-shaped track to the other. Four dogs then compete in a similar race. Anyway, they have silly stuff like that that's going on.
Oh my gosh. But it's fun for the general public. In my breed, we participate in a lot of the sportsman shows. So they're selling hunting gear, and they bring and have hunting dogs available, and we would do that every year. When I lived in Seattle, we did it every year as our club's contribution to community education. And it was just a wonderful opportunity to interact with the community, for people to get to pet dogs and have a positive association with purebred dogs.
Yeah, it's that casual atmosphere. I'm going to date myself here. It kind of reminds me of the early days when we had bench shows and people would sit around all day and talk dogs and all of the related subjects and just have a very fun, casual outing. It's a lot like that. I think this particular Pet Expo, it's definitely one of the biggest in the country, and it's definitely one of the best in terms of just the diversity of offerings. And you could definitely can spend an entire day there and enjoy yourself if you're just coming in as a member of the public. And one of the things I've seen that's pretty cool on the part of the breed clubs is how they've evolved over time, too, how they have begun to create literature. Maybe they had a brochure or a flyer to begin with, but now they have a lot more materials that they're passing out, and I think they're finding it not only as a great place to educate or inform the public about their breed, but also they're recruiting fanciers, people who love the breed, people who lived in the area and had a Dalmatian or had a Bulldog but didn't know there was a club. So that's been a very, very positive aspect of it as well.
Absolutely. And I can say what my experience has been, but you have the experience with the Pet Expo. Talk to us and for our listeners if they're going to participate in something like this, like a Meet the Breeds or a Pet Expo or the Sportsman's Association, whatever it is. Talk to us about the types of dogs that you want to encourage the fanciers to bring to engage with the community in that way.
Yeah, that's changed over time, too. I tell you, it's just a pleasure for me to go around to each of these booths and talk to the various club members that come, and they do bring just fabulous ambassadors of their breed to share with the public, and you see these dogs rolling over on their back so that somebody can pet their tummy, and it is just a wonderful showcase for presenting ambassadors for their breed. I think when we first started and actually went out to a couple of other pet expos, and this might sound snobby, I do not mean it to be, but some of the purebred booths were not staffed. Some of the other expos that I went to, let's say 15, 20 years ago, by people who really did know the breed. They had the breed. They saw it as a fun exercise to go out. It must have been fun for them, and I'm sure it did some good for the community too. But when you have the people who've spent their whole lives with these breeds, who are dedicated, who know everything and more about them, they just have a ball sharing the information they have, and they certainly are able to educate the public better than people who didn't have that expertise.
Right, and I think it's important that we be able to incorporate our pet buyers, but maybe team people up, right? Like, here's one family who has their one companion, and they can talk about what it's like to live with their one companion, Dalmatian or Wirehair Pointer, but team that person up with an experienced breeder, someone who's maybe able to give more in-depth background information if someone's looking for that sort of a thing.
Yeah, and you do find the different characteristics even within breeds depending upon the family. Like, I'm thinking about my breed again, and we have from the club that represents Dalmatians in Southern California, we have one person who's very, very into all the different companion events and performance events, and she's a top-notch trainer, and her dog is just on fire doing all these neat tricks for the public, and when we go out and we do the presentations on the stage and so on. And some people will go, I don't know, you know, that dog has just a little bit too much energy for me. But if they look like a foot and a half to the right, they'll see somebody else's dog that hardly wakes up during the whole time they're there, but it's just sleepy time. So a lot of versatility within all of these breeds, and people can win enough dogs, and people bring their dogs to these events. It's a real opportunity for people to, like you say, to be able to make the match.
Absolutely, and I think one of the things that I always found really, really useful when we were participating in these, and also even when we were at bench shows, you know, when we went to Chicago International and when we've been at the Garden, the dogs really benefit from being up off the floor. Put them on a grooming table, put them on top of a dog crate, something like that. The dog is just more comfortable. When you have those hordes, and I've been there on Saturday afternoon when you've got 20 deep, you're just like, oh my gosh. I do think that that helps them. Has that been your experience as well?
Oh yeah, it's great socialization for the dogs. And I don't know if I'd bring a dog who hadn't been anywhere in life before one of these, but for the average dog of any of these breeds, they do very, very well. And they are better for the experience, that's for sure, in the end. You know, each breed club has their own requirements as far as how the public interacts with them. We have some breeds whose dogs sort of drape the aisles, and we have to tell them, please take your dogs back inside. But they want the public to know that they can come up and pet them and comfortably lying around the aisleways. And some of the guardian breeds, the owners will ask you, you know, we want you to talk to us before you pet the dog. You know, get our permission first, which is standard dog etiquette, I think, for the general public. But for all of these breeds, regardless of how outgoing they are or how many times they have been exposed to the public, the experience is very good overall. They love it.
Absolutely. My dogs always did. And I always have one Walmart greeter. You know, there's always one. And I always bring my one Walmart greeter and they sit there. And I never forget one particular international show. So it's a bench show and people are coming through. And this particular wire hair pointer, if someone left before she was done with them, she would grab them with her paw and bring them back so that they could pet her some more.
That's great. She was popular, I'm sure.
Oh, she was very popular.
You know, with a lot of our clubs, our club members tell us that they don't have the members that they used to have. I think really one of the things I've learned from participating in the pet expos is that it's simply that they don't know we exist, because as I mentioned a little bit ago, that is a big facet of what we have found at the pet expos, are the number of people who have our breed, who love our breed, and really, really want to connect with other people who have the breed. So if some of the memberships are a little smaller than the clubs would like them to be, this is really a great place to meet other fanciers of your breed that you never knew existed.
Absolutely. And I think one point that I'd really like to make here, and I know that this is going to be the case for the pet expos as well, this is not we're going to go with a bucket full of puppies that we're going to sell to some stranger on the street. I think we need to make really clear that this is not about selling your litter of puppies. This is about meeting people and educating them about the breed.
Yeah, none of the booths that have purebred dogs sell from the booth, period. It's prohibited. People are not allowed to bring puppies for sale. There is an adoption section. If you are in the adoption section because you rescue and so on, you can sign up for a certain kind of booth that will allow you to adopt dogs out. Many shelters and rescues do this. And then there's also a section for rescues who are not placing dogs at the time of the show. Many of these are connected to the breed clubs. They're not placing dogs at the time of the show, but they are acquiring lists of potential adopters for later in the year. And I think this is just a great service, again, for the various breed clubs. And some of the breed clubs will talk about their rescue from their regular breed club as well. But it's a great place to acquire lists for people who would like to adopt a dog of your breed or to buy a dog at some subsequent time. But no, people are not bringing puppies to the show to sell.
I knew that. I just wanted to make that point really clear in case people were questioning. I know in my breed, we're always looking for people that will foster dogs, maybe do a little bit of rehab on a dog. A lot of what we get into rescue is a hunting dog that just doesn't have the social skills, for lack of a better term.
Like that dog won't hunt? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, it won't hunt, but then it hasn't been in a house, and it hasn't been crate trained, and it hasn't been socialized. It literally has no social skills. So we are often in need, in my breed, of fosters who will help transition those dogs from backyard neglected animals to happy family companions that can go on and live great lives with new adopters.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, a group that is a program of National Animal Interest Alliance is Homes for Animal Heroes, and we will have a booth in the rescue section, and we will be looking for foster homes for that program.
That's awesome. We had Cindy on after the conference in D.C., and she just has such a passion for that project. I just love it.
Yeah, it's very, very nice. It's exciting. Well, it's growing like crazy. We do have a regional coordinator for Southern California, for Iowa, for Illinois, for Missouri, for Texas. I mean, it's growing every week. It seems like we're adding another state, and we're definitely going to run out of dogs. But
isn't that a goal, Patty, run out of dogs?
For the people listening, it's a program where we place dogs that have been involved with research. After their studies are done, they get to go home and be good pets. So for us, we're always looking for foster homes because these dogs are socialized. They love people. They're used to being interacted with in a very positive way. But little things like they may not be used to a stairway, they may not be used to going potty on a particular surface. And so it's those kinds of things that we're looking for foster homes to help us with before a final transition to an adoption home.
Now, I know that your campaign is up, but I just wanted to put a plug in here for the National Animal Interest Alliance. You were doing some fundraising with an Amazon Smile campaign last month, were you not?
Yeah, along with the rest of the world. Amazon's got us all.
But that was good. I saw a lot of people from within the Purebred Dog Fancy really reacting to that, responding to that in a way that I don't remember having seen in years past. So I think that's great.
Very good. And then did you see the launch on Run for Research Awareness? That just came out 2 days ago. That's on our homepage now. And that's a 5-day virtual run for Homes for Animal Heroes.
Awesome. I will definitely find that and get a link up on that.
Yeah, there's so much stuff going on, we can't keep up with it ourselves, Laura. I'm telling you, I really mean it, too. It's like, make it stop. No, don't make it stop.
No, don't make it stop. You guys are doing fabulous. I think the biggest thing that I would like for Pure Dog Talk to be able to do for NAIA is just continue to hammer on that awareness. There are just way too many good dog people who have no clue that this exists. And if I can do my bit to put my 2 cents worth in to support the people that are doing more than anybody else to defend purebred dogs and our right to own and breed them as we see fit, then we need to support NAIA.
Ah, thank you. Well, we are the ones who do it best, so it's kind of ironic that we're fighting for our place in the conversation, isn't it? I mean, when you really think about the dog fancy as a whole, there are no other people in the world that give as much of their time, their love, their money, their energy, their intelligence to trying to make sure that dogs have good lives, that they're able to live longer, that they are socialized well enough to live in the world comfortably, that, you know, all of the things that go into raising dogs and then into just, you know, having this wonderful relationship available for us and for future generations. It is ironic and sad that we have to fight for our position in the conversation informing the public about dogs, but that is the reality. We've just allowed ourselves to be replaced by, frankly, just the fundraising groups that make a dollar by telling sad stories or making claims about people like us who breed them.
Well, and erroneous claims 99.98% of the time. But I just want to make sure that listeners understand that NAIA is doing a lot of very good work to support us.
Well, thank you. And I'll tell you what, if you give us another 2 or 3 weeks, maybe even another month, we're going to be able to give you some very exciting information about some legislation that's coming down the pike.
Ooh, teaser campaign. Well, I will definitely have you back on the show and tell us about it at that time, Patty. Meanwhile, thank you so much for your time. And listeners, check it out. See if we can find a pet expo near you.
Yeah, it's at the fairgrounds. Let me just give you the website address. It's www.petexpooc.org.
We'll put it up on our website, too, for people to be able to just directly click to it.
Yeah, it's the 27th through the 29th of this month.
Of April.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Thank you so much, Patty. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right, crew, welcome back. We are here with Allison Foley from the Leading Edge Dog Show Academy. Allison brings us our tips of the week, which we absolutely adore. Welcome, Allison.
Hi, Laura. I hope you're doing well today.
I am. I'm just spectacular.
Excellent.
What are we talking about today? What are we going to learn from Allison today?
Well, today's lesson, I don't think it's earth-shattering or anything, but it is something that I have been doing like all this past couple weeks as kind of the show season really ramps up for me out here in Canada. So it's just something that I've been doing and something that I had a lot of people kind of notice at the last dog show. So I just thought I'd share that.
Excellent.
So my point is that we all spend a lot of money on equipment, right? Even simple things like combs or brushes, they're expensive to buy good quality equipment. And one of the things that I see and one of my pet peeves, you know, for people that work with me and stuff is when the equipment just isn't really taken care of properly. So I know that I've mentioned this before, tip of the week, about like when you buy those brushes and stuff, a lot of times they come in
yes.
those plastic boxes.
Yes.
And I think actually I got after you. For
you
just, like,
did. And you changed my life. My brushes have their own little spot now.
Yes. So, I mean, I do keep mine in the box. I am kind of crazy that way. But the other thing that happens is that we lose or misplace a lot of equipment. And I think that there's, yes, sometimes in the heat of competition, you know, we leave a brush or a comb or something at ringside and then we forget to pick it up and then it's in lost and found and then we forget or somebody else picks it up. And not even really because they just want to scoff it, but more like a lot of us have the same equipment,
right?
So really take the time to mark your name on everything.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm the Sharpie queen. I use a Sharpie on like all of my brushes. I use a labeler on my combs or a nail polish on my combs and a labeler to mark the metal combs. But one of the things that I also do, because the thing is, you know, a lot of times we're set up with people who are our friends or mentors
right.
or some combination of that. And a lot of us have the same equipment because they'll be like, hey, have you tried this brush? This works so great. So then all of your 10 friends buy the exact same brush, right?
Exactly.
And so then one friend goes home with four and three friends go home with zero, right? It's because you're just, oh, that's my brush. Throw it in your bag. Oh, that's my brush. Throw it in your bag. So the other thing I do is I tend to use vet wrap, like just an ordinary vet wrap we use for ears and stuff. And I wrap my handles with it. So I kind of do it for like three different reasons. It's comfortable when you're doing a lot of brushing. So I show a lot of poodles.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a lot of grip when you're using chalk or other lotions or creams or sprays, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you better grip on your brushes. And then also, like, I don't even really need to flip the brush over to see if my name's on it because I know even if all my friends wrap them with vet wrap, we're not all going to use the same color, right? So I know my brushes are the ones with the pink vet wrap around the handles. So it seems easy, but really, if you're saving $25 a weekend because you haven't lost a brush or a comb,
more than that,
that really adds up, right?
Well, and, you know, I'm laughing right now because I always tell people I hired my first assistant because it was cheaper than replacing all the equipment that I left ringside every dog show.
How true is that?
That's absolute fact. And I love your suggestion of vet wrap because I use duct tape. I'm the duct tape queen, right? Like I'm full on redneck. I duct tape everything, but mine's always the purple duct tape. So I always know, but then I like the vet wrap because of that comfort, because that duct tape can get slimy and it's a pain to get off. And so the vet wrap is, I'm just thinking genius here. Genius.
I started doing it and I just had this slicker brush that I love the brush part, but then I didn't like the handle and then the handle started to crack. And so I just used vet wrap on it. And then ever since then, even comfortable handles are just more comfortable with vet wrap.
I like it. I like it. Well, there you go. Leading Edge Dog Show Academy. Now you know why it's the leading edge. Don't forget your checkout, Pure Dog Talk 25, to get a 25% discount on Allison's enormously fabulous services and have a cup of coffee on us. So thank you, Allison.
Thanks, Laura.
The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Supers desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.